This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Six great flavors of slushies. Pickle Bar, led by the barrels of the dills, indeed second to none. What the heck? Go out and stock up right now. It'll get you through tomorrow and early Saturday with the storm moving in. Just go stock up now. It'll be a lot of fun. Always great to talk with John Griffin, the head basketball coach at Bucknell. John, welcome. I hope it's been a terrific summer for you so far.
Steve, it's great to be back on the air with you. That means that we're getting close to the basketball season. But as always, I appreciate the invitation. And yeah, so far, no injuries, so good.
Yeah, that's the big part, which allows you to get the maximum amount of work done. What does the summer do to lay a foundation for your training camp?
Well, I think there's a couple ways that you can really utilize the time that you spend with your team. For us, it was a huge summer built around body development. We have some skilled players that needed to gain a little weight or change their body composition a little bit to help them become better players because they're very skilled. So we spent a heavy part of the summer just focusing, making sure our decisions were all about building our body to a point where we, as individuals, as our players, feel very confident in their physicality and their health. That was such a major part of our summer.
I'll give you a Mike Rhodes example. After going through the Big Ten season with the team he had, he said, you know what? He said, we have to have bigger wings. Right, that's because of the nature of how the conference is built. After going through your season in the Patriot League, what did it give you a realization of that allowed you to maybe adjust or adapt because you've gone through a season?
Yeah, it's a great question. And obviously we're not in the Big Ten, and Big Ten basketball is pretty close to Big Ten football. So the physicality is just night in and night out. For us, you know what? I learned that our players just need to improve individually as playmakers, as decision makers. I thought that we learned a lot about ourselves throughout the course of the Patriot League season. And then when the season ends, you kind of sit back and really do a deep dive overview of your strengths and your weaknesses. And for us, we wanted to help our players get better individually so they can become, like I said, just better playmakers, better decision makers without play calls, and then be stronger human beings so that they can absorb more of a physical basketball game and still allow their skills to be our advantage. And that's really, those two pieces were so important for us as we finished strong down the stretch last year, and they'll continue to be important for us going forward.
Personnel-wise, where are you going to lean on the leadership part of it? And as you were going through the weeks and weeks of summer work, did that show for you?
It did, Steve. I'm excited about this year. I mean, we talked at this point last year. I can remember vividly talking about how I wasn't sure what type of team we would put on the floor. I knew we would be competitive and we would play hard for 40 minutes. But from a individual talent standpoint, we had a lot of players that really just didn't have enough data in their profile to say what they would do versus what they couldn't do. We're in a completely, completely different boat right now. We have players that had great success throughout the course of the season last year in different times of our season. And what we have is taller players that are super skilled in Noah Williamson and Rube Bizak that really have taken a huge step forward in the offseason in developing their bodies and hopefully being able to absorb a little bit more physicality. But we have also this unique core of continuity. We didn't have any transfers. And right. So I'm really excited. I've been promoting, obviously, the energy and excitement around our team, but they've worked their tails off, and I'm happy that they're going to have the opportunity to really put Bucknell right back to the top where, you know, I think all of Lewisburg and the loyal fans of Bucknell basketball want us to be.
All right, so now the next part is that you have players back. That makes a difference. The last thing you want is to get somebody hurt along the way. But sometimes when somebody gets hurt along the way, it opens the door for somebody else to get valuable experience. There are a couple of guys, when you had guys bumped up last year, that stepped up for you, that you can see that experience has paid off for them this summer.
Yeah. I mean, we have two guards, Elvin Edmonds and Josh Bosco, that took a huge step forward for us. Yeah. Experience box checked, leadership box checked, making winning plays and then winning basketball games box checked. And so we're going to rely on the experiences that they went through and learned how to win, essentially. And, you know, we're going to put them as the head of a stake for us. And then we've intertwined some new guys that I think are going to be immediate impact players. But I'm excited. And we've built a schedule, Steve, honestly, where, yeah, it's probably a little bit, if you look at it on paper, you probably would think that as the head coach, I'm a little wild. But I'm a competitive guy, and the program's, you know, got a national brand to it. And I want to make sure that Bucknell basketball is mentioned in that mid-major world of college basketball teams that could be potential NCAA tournament teams that upset high-major opponents. And this is how you do it.
You know, there's also some other element to it, though. When you're playing a schedule like that, you find out your pluses and your minuses, and does it do the job, idealistically now, do the job of setting you up so when you get to the Patriot, we've been tested, let's go?
Yeah, I mean, ideally, yes. I think the main elements in the non-conference for us are we improving? So that's to your point. We have to be able to measure ourselves weekly. And so building a schedule that would create this type of adversity was important for me and for our program. And then building a little confidence, playing some of the – we have Richmond coming to Lewisburg, St. Bonaventure coming to Lewisburg. We're playing, you know, at Kentucky and at Syracuse and putting ourselves in position to really test ourselves but also prove that we're capable of doing this. I mean, I recall as a player the emotional aspect of being able to beat Syracuse at the Dome and then how that carried over. So there's a lot of psychological elements in play, but also I want our players, I want the recruits to all know that if you come to Bucknell, you'll have an opportunity to play on a national level.
That's also the other part, John, the importance of establishing to everybody, whether it's Lewisburg, recruits, fan base, your major league. How important is that part for you?
That's a big part of it, Steve. I mean, it's a huge – in this world today of branding, you know, you're building essentially a company that's private looking to go public. That's the way that college athletics has now kind of evolved into. And it's actually, if you look on a tangent here, if you look and you read into more college, private equities are getting involved. But for us, we are one bid league. We're a one bid league, which means that only one team will go to the NCAA tournament out of the Patriot League. And for us to prepare ourselves for that, but also get the potential recognition as that type of program, you have to put yourself in position to play some of the best basketball prior to your conference season as you can. And I've built schedules as an assistant for the last 10 years, and that's always been my philosophy. Of course, having only been an assistant that always goes to the head coach and at times got thrown back in my face. But now that I'm the head coach at Bucknell, I'm very proud of the program. And you can kind of feel that through the schedule that I've put together.
Yeah. There's been some talk of expanding the NCAA tournament. Now, you and I both know realistically that means that they would like to see, with the expanded Big Five conferences, four of them expanding, that there's a potential benefit for them. Do you think in any way, shape, or form it opens up the possibility that a great Patriot team that doesn't win the tournament could steal one because there might be more bids?
Yeah, I mean, in theory, yes. I do think that it's expanding to open the door for the high major Power Five conferences like you mentioned. So in theory, though, could a mid-major like a Patriot League school steal a bid? Yes. If the schedule, from a mathematical standpoint, works itself out and the Patriot League is strong. I mean, that's a major part of it. A lot of these conferences have to be strong enough so that teams get a net score that would imply a NCAA tournament at-large bid. So, in theory, yes, but it's not something that I'm going to rely on.
March
matters, and you have to prepare yourself for March.
Yeah, I remember, was it Monmouth a couple of years ago? It looked like they...
It was Monmouth.
They had put together that non-con. They did really well in it. They could get an at-large, and the answer was no. Thought I'd throw it out there just as a conversation piece on this particular day.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a topic of conversation for sure. I do think that more mid-major teams are challenging themselves in a non-conference than maybe the sheer number of Power Fives that are doing the same. But you're also seeing a lot of Power Five conferences really challenging themselves in a non-conference now because seeding also matters, and that's become a major player in success in the NCAA tournament.
What was your comfort level this summer? I mean, you've always been confident and comfortable, but what was your comfort level this summer working with more known entities and mixing in others with your known entities compared to a year ago when essentially, quote, everybody was new to you?
Yeah, I mean, there was such a difference in overall efficiency in the work that we were doing this summer. We had a very set plan about individual specific development pieces within their skill sets. We didn't have to waste time trying to figure out what the strengths and the weaknesses were. And that is such a huge difference from last summer. Mm-hmm. And we also weren't going to Italy, so there wasn't this looming 10-day trip, which was amazing, don't get me wrong, and exposed our players to new culture, new food, and a new region that some might never have gone to. But we didn't have the pressure of accelerating our growth. And that's a huge part of from a coach's standpoint, making sure that you're being efficient in the work that you do because you don't want to waste time. My biggest fear, Steve, was working on something this summer that we didn't utilize early in the season. I did not want to make that mistake. And I thought I did make that mistake a little bit last year.
And that's all part of the growth process along the way. I have a group of individuals sitting in a room. Let's just say I've got 1,000 people sitting in the room. What would you tell them as a great reason to buy a Bucknell season ticket for 24-25?
Yeah, first I would say is we finished the season on such a high note with such great momentum. And we have that entire team, aside from two players, returning. Right. And that type of continuity should be exciting because all of our fans know the players. They know their character, and they've seen the competitiveness. And at this point, I would say that we should all invest into building off of what we just saw at the end of the year. And it's an exciting time. I'm looking forward to it. There's a lot of work to be done, and I'm not looking ahead, and our team won't look ahead, but having the continuity that we have with the mixture of individual successes that we've had makes it for a great opportunity for this team.
Well, I'll close on this. Winning is fun. And in watching you last year, you won, but your style was fun to watch in conjunction with the winning. Yeah, and I think that's what that it's more than just, okay, we won, the final was 36-32, you got to walk out, that was a grind. You're a fun team to watch that also wins, and I think that's an incredible combination.
Yeah, I mean, winning is fun, and that overrides everything else. But certainly we have tried to build, as our staff has tried to build, this competitive product that we put on the floor every night that we play.
Yep.
And that starts with the players. It starts with the players. And we have players that have bought in quickly. We have players that genuinely want to win for the name on the front of the jersey. And that's critical. Look, we're all watching the Olympics right now, and I've watched some of the most amazing track and field victories that I've ever seen in my life. I'm watching USA basketball be unselfish. Jason Tatum wins an NBA championship and doesn't play the first game. So we are all trying to find that same thing. And it all starts with having pride in the jersey, and then ultimately playing the game the right way with whatever your system is. And for us, it's just being physical, being competitive every possession, and then trying to create as much advantage on offense as possible. And I think we have players that are skilled enough to create advantages individually, but we're much stronger when we work with one another's strengths throughout the course of a game. So,
John, it is always a pleasure to talk with you. You and I could probably sit there and talk for a couple hours. Just a pleasure. Thanks so much. Appreciate you.
Dave, you got it. Good luck this season. I'm sure you're getting ready for Penn State football.
I'm going to practice this afternoon, John.
Yeah. Good for you. Enjoy.
Thanks, John. You too. We'll talk
all
soon.
Right.
Okay?
Okay. Bye-bye.
John Griffin, head basketball coach Bucknell. This half hour being brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we'll come back, talk with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Really great yesterday at the golf tournament. I was able to find 12 golf balls, and it turned out that 11 of them were the suits from a previous tournament. All right, so what? It's great to have John Griffin on the show, isn't it?
He's one of our favorite guests just because I love to listen to him talk about basketball.
Well, John is smart, outgoing, passionate. Good man, good person, right? Knowledgeable, right? It's why I enjoy talking with him. I am a big proponent of who John Griffin is and the kind of basketball coach he is. Bucknell's very, very fortunate to have him. Very fortunate.
And I think the fun part for me is I remember when John was a freshman. I remember when John came to Bucknell, covered him when he was that young. It's just to watch him grow into the kind of the man he's become man he's become has been amazing. And just that whole group, I think we've talked about it with him, or I think you talked about it a little bit when we had Pat on, but just that whole group and that whole recruiting, that original team that upset Kansas, just some of the players and the leaders mm-hmm. and the personalities that Pat was able to find and kind of put together in those teams is amazing.
Well, I see Pat all the time now. So I see Pat all the time now. Pat Flannery is, like John Griffin, a good, good guy. That's one thing about this business. You're very fortunate to meet a lot of people in the business that we do. And just to get to know people as people. And that's one of the fun elements of the business. And the fact I get a chance now to know John Griffin a little bit more, that also falls into place. U.S. women's volleyball beat Brazil. That was a thriller, huh? Went fifth set. And tremendous. 25-23, 18-25, 25-15, 23-25, 15-11. Oh. So they'll play in Sunday's Olympic final. And remember, Italy is the number one ranked team. Now, Italy still has to face Turkey, I believe.
I was going to see, and I think the men's volleyball were upset in the quarterfinals yesterday to Poland, I believe it was. Yeah.
Yeah, they were. So, yep. So that's where we are at the Olympics. Nick Foles is going to retire with the Eagles at the home opener, by the way. Which should have been Green Bay.
Oh, I thought maybe they were going to send him to San Paolo to do that.
No, I don't think so.
That would really anger the Phillies fans, wouldn't it?
Everybody! Yeah, the announcement made in Portuguese.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And the final half hour is brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Great to see Tom Murch yesterday. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory. And I speak as a Sunbury Motors customer. I know what the buying experience is like. I know what the financing experience is like. They're top shelf. As you know, I would only go with the best. I always believe that you're the best for a reason. And that's who Sunbury Motors happens to be. And they also have great pre-owned inventory. Not everybody can afford a new car. I know that. And especially in these interesting economic times. So pre-owned inventory may be what you need. And you need a buying experience of pre-owned inventory that really eases the buying experience. And Sunbury Motors does it because they go over every vehicle with a fine-tooth comb. Really important. Really important. And the fabulous service department that backs it up every step of the way with routine, difficult, they can handle it all. It's a great group. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. One thing I didn't get into with John, because, I mean, as the basketball coach, it's one thing to talk about. It'd be more to talk about with an athletic director. But the settlement, the house settlement, with the back money going to former student athletes from 2016 to 2023, I guess. 60% of it, I believe, is coming out of reserves. But the other 40% is going to come out of NCAA distributions over the next 10 years, which, by the way, in my opinion, assures the viability of the NCAA basketball tournament for 10 years. They need it. But everybody's going to have to take a little bit less because of that. Now, Penn State can absorb that. I worry about the Bucknells and their ability to absorb it. Because, I mean, there's a certain amount of money you count on as an outside source. So I just, you know, but that's not something I would ask John about. Because he's the coach. It's the athletic director that has to make it work, because that money goes to the entire athletic department, not just basketball. You see what I'm saying, Todd? I mean, that for smaller programs, not part of the Power Four, or in this case, basketball Power Five because of the Big East, that brings with it for mid-majors, low majors, you know, where every penny counts, that's going to hurt some along the way. And it, you know, it should be talked about more, I think.
Well, the other interesting part is the Patriot League's a lot like the Ivy League, where they're, you know, philosophically, I wonder where they're at on this. Just, I mean, it took them forever to decide that they've only had scholarships for maybe 10 years in basketball and football right now. So I think it's interesting to see where they fall philosophically on this, because this is not, you know, when they were on the Ivy League, you know, path when they were originally founded, was that was why they were originally founded, because some of the schools in the old East Coast Conference wanted to go give scholarships in football and basketball, and Bucknell and Lafayette and Lehigh and Holy Cross didn't want to.
Right, and that's something you have to overcome.
Yeah.
And if you, again, it goes back, this has been the topic of the day, ideology versus realism. Right? Idealistically, it's admirable to say, hey, look, you know, this is how we do things and so forth. But realistically, you can't win that way. And basketball is different than football, where if you're an Ivy League school, for example, so you're Harvard, Yale, Columbia, Penn, Cornell, Dartmouth, Brown, right? And Princeton, you can sit there and you can go about your business and win the Ivy League championship, play a couple of non-conference games, and win the Ivy League championship. You're not competing for the national championship. But in basketball, it's a different ball game. You have an opportunity by winning your conference to get into the NCAA basketball tournament, where in turn you can upset Kansas. Which, oh, wait, Bucknell did that, didn't they? Okay. Right? So you can do that. And so you're playing at a different game, a different level. An Ivy League school is not going to qualify for the college football playoff. It's not going to happen. You know, the Ivy League is not even part of the group of five, really. They're not, which is where one school will come out of. And it's not the 1960s where Yale was ranked, when they had Brian Dowling and Calvin Hill and Bob Weinauer and people like that, and Carm Kozu was the coach. They're different. I mean, that's, you're talking 50 plus years ago. It's not the same anymore. So the Ivy League in football is not competing for the national championship. You know, Division I, FBS. But in college basketball, you are. I mean, you can be St. Peter's and make it to the Elite Eight, right? So it's a little bit different. And so when you're talking about, now back to the scholarship part, you had to offer scholarships.
Well, I mean, they lost Fordham because they wouldn't for a while. I mean,
right. Yeah, but you have to do it, because your ideology may be one thing, but realistically, you have to do it. You need to compete. You know, You know, it's your choice. Do I want to compete or don't I? And to me, you make the right decision by saying you want to compete.
I think some of that stuff comes from the alumni sometimes, so we'll see kind of how that goes at Bucknell. I think it helps. It's basketball. I think basketball is more important to Bucknell at this point, and I think that they'll probably, I don't know how they not participate in anything like this. You almost have to.
Yes. No, you do. You almost have to. I mean, that's the way it is. That's why when I was talking about the Big Ten and the SEC earlier in football, you can't give them any advantage. In football, they'll take every advantage they can get. You can't give them that advantage. And on Bucknell's level, right, with the schools they're competing against, you have to make sure they're not getting an advantage that you can't make up for. I mean, and again, it's ideology versus realism. Realistically, you got to go out and get your hands dirty. Realistically. Because, if you wanted to die on the ideology hill, go ahead. But that's not the way athletics is working these days.
I think my memory's right on this, but I think when Coach Flannery struggled for a little bit before that class with Chris McNaughton and John Griffin, that was part of the issue, is Bucknell was still one of the ones that wasn't giving scholarships yet in basketball. And then once they started, you get this run they've been on for the last 20 years.
Exactly. And guess what? What are the fans excited about? They're excited about Bucknell grads who are also good at basketball. Right?
I was going to say, who have a head coaching job in the NBA.
But I'm saying, Bucknell fans are excited about the fact that their student-athletes graduate, but they're also really good at basketball. And guess what? That sells tickets. Okay? The engineering department, the liberal arts department, whatever it may be, all do great, great work. But none of them can put 4,000 in Soika. Right? That's not a cut. That's just real. That's reality. It's not a cut. It's reality. I mean, I realize that you'll go to an engineering class because you're just a curious mind.
I was going to say, if the science department has monkeys, the science department might be able to get 4,000 in Soika.
Okay. Never thought of it in those terms. Missed it on that one.
they've since torn it.
I retract my statement.
They've since torn it down, but you used to be able to see the monkeys in the cages in the fall and the winter when the leaves were down and from Route 15.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, here at Penn State, and I've told James this. I said, you know where the Nittany Apartments are now on campus? They're right next to the, near Haluba Hall, east, and the football facility and so forth, right near the tennis courts. Those are the Nittany Apartments. Those used to be chicken coops. Chicken coops. And I can remember being over there for practice. Oh, and the odor. Really? Every once in a while, because of the farmland around the university, and most of it's university farms, my goodness, my dad's uncle was in charge of the herd at Penn State in the 30s, 40s, and into the 50s, maybe even into the 60s. I'm not sure how long. And Phil may have gone into the 60s doing that. And every once in a while, you'll get a wind shift, and you know it.
Ugh.
Well, when the chicken coops were there, you didn't need a wind shift. Oh.
I've lived near a chicken farm. I get it.
And those were right where the Nittany Apartments are now. I know the Nittany Apartments need work now, but even in their current state, that's exponentially better than the chicken coops were. It's like, brutal. Brutal.
I can think of two local high school football fields that if the wind shifts, the town sewer plants are close enough that it gets to be unpleasant once in a while.
Can't happen. He's like, Lisa, he goes, chicken coops. I go, yeah. We'll take a break. I remember telling Bill O'Brien that. Jonesy, no. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers who buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers as your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.
Last year at the Purdy tournament, the Sioux tried to moonwalk to this. Did not declare it a success.
I'm guessing that was post-round.
I think it was pre-round, because post-round he was still looking for his ball.
Wow.
I told him to bring more than a dozen. How did you play yesterday?
I was okay at the beginning, and then it fell apart after it rained.
Yeah, you know what helped me is I have a couple of different gloves in my bag. And so I made the turn. I changed gloves. And so I'm out there, and it barely rained once we got back out there after lunch. So I actually had a dry glove and a decent grip. So that helped.
We were lucky. Chad Evans is really good.
Oh, no, Chad is a really good player.
So that helped our team a lot.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it did. No, Chad's a very good player. No question about it. And I played with Drew before. I think Drew's a good player.
He had his moments yesterday.
Yeah, but everybody has an up and down day. Okay? I mean, everybody has. I played with a couple of guys this year that are really good players, and on that particular day didn't have their best day, right? I played with a couple of guys like that where I know they're better, right? And, for example, I got to get Wes Durham on the show here, but Wes and I played 2 days back in May, and Wes played really well, but it didn't mean he didn't have some bad holes, right? He'll be the first to tell you. Now, when you're a good player like he is, when you hit a bad shot, you are capable of getting yourself back in the game on the next shot. Not the next hole, but I mean the next shot. And Wes can do that. I think the last time Wes and I played, we played the Gray course. And I think he shot 81, and I shot 84. And I know he's capable of shooting in the upper 70s, for example.
The other part of it is once it rained, it made the those greens were just...
Bill
got so slow.
Bill Purdy hit a shot on 18, right? Where, I can't remember what club he had. We were 137 out. And I made a mistake on club selection. I decided to hit a gap wedge, and I should have hit pitching wedge. I hit a gap wedge that was turning left to right, and if I have 12 more inches on the shot, I'm up near the hole. But instead, it hit the bank about a foot short, and it stuck. Bill hit the right club. He put it straight on the green about, I'd say, 10 feet from the hole, and the ball literally came straight down and plugged on the green. He got no roll. It plugged on the green, halfway down on the ball.
I was going to say the same thing happened to Chad when he hit a pitch and he was trying to roll it to the hole, and it hit like, it probably hit like 25 feet from the cup and just embedded into the green. It probably took longer to clean the ball mark than it did to actually line up the putt.
Oh, no. I mean, I was on 16. I hit an approach on 16 where I hit it in such a way, normal release, I probably would have been 5 feet from the hole instead I was 20 feet away because it just stopped. Like, oh, okay, great. You know, you have to adjust. You know, I should have done a better job adjusting distances on clubs because of the rain. But, you know.
Well, it sucked up a lot of water last Friday, too. They had the EVAN tournament last Friday, and they were playing in a steady pouring rain.
No, I mean, like I said, I was happy with how I played. I mean, now, there are a couple drives I want back. Sure, there are a couple drives I want back, without question. But club selection for me, early on, Steve Engel gave me a great piece of advice. Steve told me, he says, play it to the front. And that was working great. Like I said, 18 is a good example. I hit a gap wedge, and I should have hit pitching wedge because of the conditions. Air was a little heavier and so forth. And like that one I was kind of kicking myself for because I hit that one right on the number. But my number was short. Darn it. Darn thing.
It was nice to see since Ron Marshall runs part of the YMCA. There was a lot of chic guys my age that were there that I hadn't seen in a while. I had fun playing golf, but I had more fun seeing some of the people.
Well, that's to me, it's what's great about golf. You know, you get to walk around and talk with people. You know, Jack and I last week were playing at Sunny Hannah. We're just talking. Steve Engel asked me 5-10 questions in the cart going around about a couple of things. So did Bill and Craig Purdy. Just talking. Oh, it's just it's relaxing, it's enjoyable. It's always great to get out and socialize with people. I mean, you know what I say all the time, Todd. I always say it's okay to have fun, enjoy life. There's so many elements we have to fight all the time, but when you have a chance to have fun and enjoy life, just do it. You're so much better off for it. No need for bitterness in the world. Have some fun. Yeah, I don't care if you're out, you know, at a club or having dinner or playing golf or whatever, you know, where people are around. Just have fun. Yeah, yesterday was fun.